Wilson takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, it baby.
Is a touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl in Glendale. What a catch in the end zone. It is cursed.
Hello and welcome back to the locker room. Andrew's on his phone. Not we're starting.
You got to have the Twitter open just in case some
breaking
news breaks.
We did have some breaking news last week, but so far nothing yet. But we are back here in the locker room. I am your host Justin Reed, along with Andrew Tenney, as usual. Your only current, consistent sports talk show here in the Spokane area. How was your weekend? Do you have anything fun? Anything last night?
I've realized over the past few weeks that every time somebody comes in on Monday or Tuesday and asks me what I did over my weekend, I just can't remember what I did. So cognitive decline at 23 years old. That's what
great.
I did with my weekend. How about you?
Sounds like an awesome weekend. But I didn't do too much this weekend. Mainly watching the Mariners, which we'll get to later. But it was all looking forward to last night when I had a combination of the Mariners at 4 o'clock, my draft at 6:45 for fantasy football, nice. And then the Sounders at 8 o'clock, which is where I want to start with, because they were just embarrassed by...
That went really well for
us. Yeah, a nice 4-1 loss to LAFC, which is who they beat last year in the Western Conference Finals, to advance to the MLS Cup, where they beat the Toronto... I just completely blanked. I was at the game, and I still...
Raptors?
That's, no.
I wanted to say Revolution.
Not the Raptors. they beat Toronto.
Toronto FC.
Toronto,
that's
yes.
That's what they're called. Because their name's not that cool.
What was that whole thing about cognitive decline that you talked about?
I'm glad that it's contagious.
Yeah, thanks. Much appreciated.
You got it, dude.
So they lost 4-1 last night. They were beaten in all facets of the game. They did actually have more possession, 60-40, but they were outshot. They weren't as physical. They had 8 shots on goal against them, but in reality, LAFC probably should have scored at least 6, if not all 8 of those shots on goal.
How much shame is there actually in losing to LAFC, though? It kind of sucks that they drew them in the first round of the knockout stage, but
yes.
it's a respectable
it
organization.
Is, they don't have the reigning MLS MVP, Carlos Vela, who sat out of this tournament, so that part's unfortunate.
Okay.
But you're right, LAFC is a team with money. They are a team who... are and have continued to be successful over their time in MLS. So, it's not the worst, but at the time, you look at the top teams in MLS, LAFC and Seattle are definitely up there. And the fact that Seattle got blown out of the water, when they're all in the same situation, it's not like it's during the regular season. They're at LAFC, which is a wicked place to play. This was in Orlando, a neutral location, both West Coast teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that part, I think, was unfortunate. The only guy who scored was a guy who hasn't scored in over a year. He just came off of a torn ACL. He was in for like 5 minutes and scored, and that was Will Bruin. So that was cool to see, but it was just horrendous on the defensive end. We gave up a penalty. We gave up an own goal from one center back, gave up an own goal. Another center back gave up a penalty. That same center back who gave up the penalty lunged at a tackle, missed, and that gave up the third goal, and that essentially sealed it. And it was just a mess. So that's what I did yesterday. That didn't go nearly as well as my draft. Mariners lost, but we'll get to that as well. So was not great, but we'll move on to stuff that's actually fun and interesting, and that's the NFL. And it's not maybe not the fun might not be the right word for this first topic. Players are starting to opt out of playing. The NFL and the NFL Players Association agreed last week, which is something that we discussed, mm-hmm. on a deal on how to test players for COVID. How players can't go to nightclubs if there's 15 or more people in their entourage. And they can't go to a church service where the church is over 25% capacity. And there's some really funky things that they can't do. But they also agreed on how players can opt out of playing this season. And that includes a few $100,000 if you are at risk of complications from COVID. And I think it's like 150 or something if you just want to opt out because you just want to opt out.
Right.
So it's been a mess in terms of today, in terms of players opting out. Who are some of the big names so far that you've been tracking that have decided not to play?
The entire Patriots roster.
There are.
They're newly signed fullback, Patrick Chung, Dante mm-hmm. Hightower, which is huge for
bowlers.
Their defense, especially after they lost Kyle Van Noy mm-hmm. in the offseason to Miami. Of course, Cam making the splash and being in New England was, the move of the offseason for them. But really, they were going to be keeping their team together because of the defense. And now both Chung and Hightower opting out. Those are two integral pieces of their defense. So that's going to be a big hit.
Yeah, they lost a starting tackle as well. A running back who is the return man, and Brandon Bolden, the fullback that you mentioned, Vital, and then some probably backup offensive linemen. Some of the other big names, though, around the NFL. Starting with the Bears, we're going to go in alphabetical order. Eddie Goldman, who is a Pro Bowler, as far as I remember. If not, he is integral to that defense. He's their nose tackle. He clogs up the running game in the Bills. Not really a star anymore. It's kind of funny his name is Star. So he is opting out. Keep going down the list. The big one, actually, in terms of the headlines, was the Chiefs guard, the guy who is in Canada, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, probably.
Yep, nailed close. It.
Yeah, exactly. That has to be it. I think he's working on the front lines up in Canada. So he is opting out. That's awesome for him.
Noble cause,
very noble, yeah. Another decent-sized name here for the Eagles, Marquise Goodwin. Came over from the Niners this offseason to play for the Eagles. He's a short wide receiver, very speedy, very fast. Was solid for the Niners.
Probably going to be injury-riddled career.
Oh yeah, very, and that's part of the problem because he's so small. But he was going to be important for the Eagles' offense, they don't really have many healthy wide receivers anyway.
Funchess opted out,
and that's
wow.
For
so the only weapon that Green Bay got, Aaron, this offseason
is gone. Yep.
I didn't even know that. Oh my god.
Yep, that is not good for them. There's the Patriots. That doesn't matter. Seahawks had a guy. The last one that we'll really talk about is Chance Warmack, but he's their backup.
I was happy about this because it clears up at least one body that they have because they have so many guards and tackles, mostly guards, and they've done a lot of reshuffling this offseason. Training camp is going to be a mess for their offensive line
will,
and try to get that sorted out.
They're really going to have to work on that. The interesting thing about Warmack is he was a first-round draft pick in 2013, if I remember right, and he would have been, I think, the fourth first-round offensive lineman that the Seahawks have had on their team from that 2013 draft. Which is really interesting. They had Luke Jokel. They had him.
I forgot about Jokel.
Yeah, Jokel was a... That was a... we'll just continue to forget about him. So that's not good news in terms of what's happening. In my opinion, I don't think any stars are going to sit out. Now, you know, some of these guys, Patrick Chung, Hightower, are definitely up there, but they're not a star stud in terms of, you know, if Russell Wilson opted out, that would be... you know, huge news, and people would, you know, that would reverberate the NFL this entire season. None of these names so far are going to cause someone after week two to be like, where's Patrick Chung? You know, that doesn't matter. So in my mind, as long as the main stars are still playing, I think this NFL season is going to go off and no one's really going to recognize it. You know, that doesn't mean that they're going to have problems with people getting sick, but
yeah, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's something that we'll deal with as training camp starts ramping up and things start going. So let's also talk about a move that happened at the end of last week, and it was a very big one. The Seahawks acquired Jamal Adams from the New York Jets for Bradley McDougald, two first-round draft picks, a third-round draft pick next year, and they, in return, got Jamal Adams and a fourth-round draft pick in 2022.
Correct.
Jamal Adams, 24 years old, two Pro Bowls to his name. He was an All-Pro, and I don't think last year, but the year before. He's a box safety. He's not an Earl Thomas. He's more of a Cam Chancellor. He's a big guy. He's a big hitter. He's also a very impressive coverage guy, which the Seahawks need in a league or in a division that really targets their tight end, specifically with the Niners and the Rams, with their offenses that they like to run. But he's a stud. He's a star. He's 24 years old. They gave up a 29, maybe a 30-year-old safety in Bradley McDougald. He's a starter, he's a solid player, but he's not a guy who's going to win you football games. What do you think about the move?
To be honest, I was pretty indifferent about it. It was kind of a shock. We all knew that Seattle was on the list of teams that Jamal Adams had supplied for the Jets in terms of where he would be okay being traded to. I never thought he was going to end up in Seattle. There weren't rumblings, you know, hours or days beforehand. It just kind of came out. I think overall I like it. The only question that I have is that, is it smart to put all your chips in a basket for this year or maybe the year after when this year isn't even guaranteed with everything happening with the pandemic? And then the Jets, they did get a haul. However, I mean, of course, those two first-round picks are going to be in the mid to late 20s.
Yeah, 25 to 30.
As they typically are. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel that bad about giving over that draft capital. Also, just because if you look within the Carroll and Schneider era, their late first-round picks are garbage. Mm-hmm. They've rarely worked out, and they have been they just haven't been good. So in terms of what we gave up, I don't – and that's what you're going to give up for a player like Jamal Adams. Mm-hmm. I think it's a better deal on our end than, like, a similar one like the Rams and Jalen Ramsey and what they gave up. I mean, yeah, you compare it to the Ramsey trade, you compare it to the Khalil Mack trade a couple years ago between Oakland and Chicago. I think they're all pretty comparable. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he fits within the culture of Seattle. Obviously, he was very outspoken about ownership and his head coach, Adam Gase, in New York. Hopefully, he's not a repeat offender in that sense. We'll see if he gets tired of Pete Carroll's mantra and the same stories that he tells over and over that Michael Bennett and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman all got sick of after lengthy careers in Seattle. So we'll see. Overall, I like it, but I'm not jacked. I'm not pumped. And I feel like I should be because it's Jamal Adams, and he's, by a lot of measures, one of, if not the best, safeties in the game.
Yeah, I saw Colin Coward say, and I sort of paraphrasing, but he said, don't trade away the entire farm to repair the house, or something like that. And now I get that assessment. I understand that. You know, when I'm looking at this trade, essentially what it is, I would say the third and fourth round draft picks, they cancel each other out. I'd say Jamal Adams and a first round draft pick cancel each other out. So really you have Bradley McDougal and a first round draft pick going over to cancel out what the Jets are giving up. And to me, you know, on top of those things canceling out, losing a first round draft pick and a safety who has 1 year left on his contract, who's a solid NFL starter, to me was a big win in my book. Now, again, the Seahawks are going to have to dish out safety record-breaking money in terms of his contract because he's on his rookie deal. He has 2 years left. He told the Jets, that's why this whole issue even arose, because the Jets were like, I don't think you're worth that amount of money. Currently, the highest paid safety in the league is Eddie Jackson. He's going to be looking for a contract in the $15 to $16 million range. And the Seahawks will be willing to give that to him because you don't trade two first-round draft picks for a guy to rent for a year, because next offseason is when, because he's already said, he's already come out and said, I'm willing to play under my current contract this season. We'll talk next year. And so that's going to be a big deal, is getting him re-signed next season. And the Seahawks, I already know, have budgeted for it. They, again, you don't dish out this sort of draft capital for a one-year, and especially this year, in terms of a one-year rental.
Another small piece of it is that, and of course, we'll never know if this would have ended up actually taking place or not, but there was a lot of speculation that McDougal was going to get cut anyway just because of his cap hit and because he was on the last year of the deal and just freeing up that. And then, of course, we saw who they ended up cutting after the Jamal Adams trade, and they cut Joey Hunt. And who's the other one that saved him money?
The defensive end.
Brandon Jackson. Yep. That's right, yeah. Which,
and
fine.
and that saved up. I mean, Joey Hunt took up $2.2 million of the cap. Mm-hmm. So they were preparing for this, and they still have room to add to this defense. Is that Clowney? Is that Griffin? Is that somebody else? We're not sure.
Snacks Harrison.
Yeah.
I would take a D tackle in a heartbeat.
That defensive line could definitely use some depth. Jamal Adams is a guy who expect to not just be playing that box safety role. He racked up, I think, 6.5 sacks last season.
Which is insane for a
defensive back. Yeah, that's just unheard of. But in this day and age, a lot of teams are looking for a guy who can line up all over the defensive side of the ball. You look at a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, who really has done that well throughout his career. That's exactly why Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson was drafted this year, to play linebacker, safety, defensive back, rush the passer. And this is what Jamal Adams can do. He's going to line up against George Kittle. Yep. But, you know, the next play, he's going to go and he's going to take down Jimmy Garoppolo. Or the next play, he's going to sit in the box and wait for a crosser and then blow up, hopefully, George Kittle right over the middle. And
now that you're illustrating it, I'm actually kind of getting excited, or at least seeing him one-on-one at the line of scrimmage against Kittle and watching that play out.
He's going to be so instrumental for this football team in terms of allowing them the flexibility, because now that also allows Blair to be on the football field at the same time. The Seahawks could run out three safeties and then drop one of them in the box and be better at coverage, but then also keep guys afraid from crossing over the middle of the field. Put Bobby Wagner in the middle, Bruce Irvin at the end. You're going to have Marquise Blair, Quandre Diggs, and then Jamal Adams on the field all at one time. And it allows them all, you know, you could drop Bruce Irvin into coverage and kind of scheme, give these interesting looks, rush Jamal Adams from the other side, rush Blair, put Blair in the nickel in the slot. I mean, there's just, it really just gives the Seahawks a flexibility that they haven't had in a few years in terms of, you know, because Earl Thomas, even though he wasn't a guy who ran all over the field, could come down into the box, could, you know, line up against a tight end, could rush the passer, and we just haven't had that. So that'll be really exciting to keep an eye on. So that also kind of leads into the next part we wanted to talk about in terms of players who have changed teams this offseason. It's been really funky. I learned a lot of this just last night when I was drafting my fantasy football team. I was like, ugh, that guy's on that team now. I'd like to say I usually keep up on that stuff pretty well, but it still kind of freaked me out because I wasn't able to keep track of it. Who's the first guy when you were looking through that you were like, oh, that guy's there now?
So actually, now that I remember what I did this weekend, I went over to a buddy's house, and his dad's a big San Francisco 49er fan. Mm-hmm. So I was shooting the breeze with him about the Niners and the upcoming season, and it dawned on me, they got Trent Williams.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I was like, wow, you lost Joe Staley and replaced him with Trent Williams. Yep. What a bummer.
Athletic, same, decent, you know, same age-ish, but a caliber of player that's greatly higher than and more healthy in terms of.
Because he hasn't played in like a year, two years.
I mean, it's at least a year, if not like a year and a half, because I think he actually got hurt at the back end of that season, and then he sat out last year. But no, Trent Williams is going to be tough to deal with. I'm hoping that Father Time catches up with him a little bit because, you know, and if you don't remember Trent Williams, he's the guy, I know you remember, Trent Williams and Richard Sherman had that beef at the end of the Redskins-Seahawks game years ago.
And then 2012 wild card.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
now they're on the same team.
Now they're on the same team. And that's what happened when Jimmy Graham moved to the Seahawks. And I was like, oh, geez, how is he going to fit in after he got in all the Seahawks?
Beef.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting. Now that's a good one. I saw that one. The other one that surprised me is Jason Witten now playing for the Raiders. When I saw that, I'm like, first off, that guy's old. He's, what, 30? He has to be 34, 35?
Well, he knows he can't go back to broadcasting.
He can't go back to broadcasting. He was terrible. That Monday Night Football booth still is terrible.
It's rough.
They need to completely just – I don't know why they even changed it up in the first place. Well, aside from the fact that Gruden had to leave. But that is just terrible. So that's surprising. He's on a one-year, $4 million deal with the Raiders. You just don't – it's going to be weird seeing him. And essentially, the backwards color, instead of being white as a primary color, now it's black. So that'll be really interesting.
Another one that I had nearly forgotten about, Luke Kuechly retired.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a thing.
That's great, too, because then now Bobby Wagner, there's no argument that he is the best active linebacker.
There shouldn't have been an argument.
There never should have been an argument.
For the past, like, two or three years. But even when they both, because I think they came in the league the same year, 2012.
Mm-hmm. If not the same year, then
Kuechly may have had a year before. But anyway, people that actually knew what they were talking about and saw what they saw knew that Bobby was.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, we don't have to have that discussion anymore. But, yeah, he's gone. He retired.
Speaking of the Cowboys, I am glad now that Greg Zuerlein is off the Rams
and on the
Cowboys. So we won't have to deal with him.
He did give us a win last year at home by just barely, ever so slightly, pushing that kick right.
That was really a big shame.
On a Thursday night.
So I'm glad that he is gone.
Kind of got a twofer. I think these are both pretty decent additions, and I don't recall either of them. So the Lions signed both Danny Shelton, defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. I think he spent last year with New England. I could be wrong
that
about
that. Sounds about right.
Yeah, and then Desmond Trufant, which I forgot that he had gotten cut by Atlanta as well.
Yeah, do not remember that one.
So two decent defensive signings, and I think they were both for relatively cheap money too.
Yeah, we did. So Trufant went to – did he go to UW?
Desmond went to UW.
There
was a Trufant that Marcus went
to WSU.
Yep. Isaiah, I think, was the one that went to Eastern Washington, and then Desmond went to UW.
Yeah, I think Danny Shelton went to UW.
Danny Shelton went to UW as well.
Yeah, so the Dogs are making a return together because they both would have been on the same team overlapping at least a year or two. Mm-hmm. Mine's also a twofer because they're both wide receivers. Both are decent, you know, probably in the second tier in terms of wide receivers. But Stephon Diggs moving from the Vikings to the Bills, that will be weird because he's probably on that borderline of 1 and 2.
Yeah.
When he's on and healthy. The other one is Brandon Cooks, who is now on his fourth team in a 7-year career. Came out of college, was a stud with Breeze and the Saints, went on to the Rams, or actually to the Patriots. Anyway, he went to both
the Patriots,
of those teams.
And back to the Rams.
Then back to – it was just been a mess. So yeah. He had two concussions last year, just had over 500 yards. The Texans gave up a second-round pick for him, which was crazy because, you know, you look at what Hopkins went for. But that one was weird. My last one, too, is just Calais Campbell moving from the Jags to the Ravens. That's a big get for the Ravens, and they only got him for a fifth-round pick. He is old. I think he's 35.
He does not play like
he doesn't though, play man. Like 35. No.
He's a holy terror still.
Madden has him as a 95 this year.
Right,
is,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's dumb.
The last one that I had, it's not really that significant, but Nickell Roby-Coleman in the infamous no pass interference call down in New Orleans for the NFC Championship game. He's an Eagle now, so the Eagles are trying to bolster their defensive secondary, and they also made the trade for Darius Slay, obviously.
Yep, that was a big one for them.
So we'll see if Roby-Coleman costs them.
Yeah, well, again, yeah, or just, you know, hide somehow and doesn't get costed
that's
at
right.
all.
I guess that's right, yeah.
But still could cost him because the league should never have missed that call. So that was our NFL discussion. I just can't wait for football to come back. I think they will figure out a way to get it happening. I don't know what that will mean if they start having issues with COVID. They'll play either way.
Have you noticed the media members, like the national media members, are almost split in their tone?
Yeah.
Half of them are super stoked, just like most Americans would be, that football is coming back. And the other half, it's almost like,
there's no way.
They're, like, shunning the fact they don't want it to happen.
Say his name.
I don't want to.
I don't want
to. We mention him too much.
We do mention him a lot, but Max Kellerman sucks. He really does. Because I did see that bit, too, when he was just like, nope, not happening. It's like he literally is going on there just to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah.
Just to make them hate their life even more by saying there's no chance.
I honestly lose respect for Stephen A. just by association with Max Kellerman.
And he already was low on respect. And the fact that you can lose even more for him is pretty unfortunate, and that's all Kellerman's doing.
Yeah.
So the NFL will happen. You heard it here first. It was not a problem. So we'll move on to NBA talk. We got some predictions and some thoughts here for this NBA that is happening now in 2 days. Thursday, it makes its glorious return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I didn't make any predictions. I think if I had to go off the cuff, it would be pretty boring. I think I would say the Lakers and the Bucks, just because they were the two best teams all year.
Yep.
Nothing really interesting there. You could swap in the Clippers as well. I think that's equally plausible.
It'd be a safe bet.
Yeah, I just kind of broke it up into favorites, sleepers, and then tough outs.
Yeah.
Maybe that aren't destined to go to the conference finals. Mm-hmm. However, they're going to be hard
bounce
in the first or the second round. So the favorites, I have both the LA teams and Milwaukee.
Yep.
So sleepers, Dallas with the best offense, getting Porzingis back, Luka being Luka. It's also, I just wanted to say, I don't know if you've watched any of the scrimmages at all.
Not here and there, minutes of it.
It's so good to see LaFlop James in mid-season form. It's great to see Luka and Harden hitting step backs, and it's so good to see Ja Morant almost posterizing dudes in the league. His almost posterizing highlight reel
is just as good as
exactly. It's
he
insane.
He is fun to watch. So, I'm actually real quick on him. I'm surprised that his game has translated so well this fast.
Yeah.
Because coming from a smaller school. But, I mean, he went off in the NCAA tournament. So, I guess this shouldn't be that big of a surprise. But it is what it is, and I like it. It's fun.
He's an awesome watch. That Grizzly team is
high
great.
And
Jaren Jackson Jr. too.
Yep.
No, it's awesome. Okay, but the sleepers, so Dallas. This should not even be considered a sleeper pick, but I feel like people don't talk about him that much. Toronto.
Yep.
One of the best defenses in the NBA.
Super under the radar.
And they just don't lose. I know as a Celtics fan, every time the Celtics would go on a win streak, they didn't gain any ground because Toronto would not lose to teams that they shouldn't lose to.
And
they have maybe one of, if not the best coaches in Nick Nurse. He'll probably win Coach of the Year. And they just do crazy things on defense in their lineup. Their bench depth is really
solid
good
rotations.
Really good rotations. So they shouldn't even be considered a sleeper. I mean, they're the number two seed in the East, but I feel like they don't garner a ton of national respect. But Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. If you trust the process enough, I think
If you trust the process enough. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. They had such an insane disparity between their home record and their away record. I think they were like 29-2 league best at home, and then a very, very average record on the road. If they can, I don't know how they're going to figure it out or if they will, but if they can, with Ben Simmons and Embiid, and actually finding ways for them to both be productive on the court at the same time, or maybe figuring out a way that they can effectively stagger them, they had a whole season of trying to figure that out, and it didn't really happen. Mm-hmm. Both players got injured at different times, and the player that remained healthy at that one time was able to flourish with the other one off the court. So it's not a great sign. But I know as a Celtics fan, they do not match up well against Philadelphia, so I'm really hoping that they don't catch them in the first round. I mean, because Embiid would just terrorize them. I mean, Tice is a nice player and everything, but they just don't match up well. And other sleeper is Miami.
Okay.
Every time I look at their roster, I'm like, wow, why? Yeah, Miami.
Okay.
Butler is one of those guys that you want in the playoffs, and he was going toe-to-toe with Kawhi in the Eastern semis last year, and before Kawhi hit that insane shot, he actually tied the game up and put the was going to take it to overtime. He's got the grit, he's got the defensive tenacity, he's got that it factor that you want in a heated playoff series. And they just got really good role players. Obviously, a few weeks ago we talked about Bam Adebayo. They got Duncan Robinson. Kendrick Nunn's been a great rookie for them as well. We'll see how Iguodala kind of gets acclimated. Obviously, he didn't play a ton for them after they acquired him in the buyout.
Yep.
And Spoelstra is a great coach, always a criminally underrated coach.
Very much so. He kind of gets made fun of, and I'm not sure why.
He really does. And especially back when the Big Three all started there and they lost that first finals. And it's like, let's bring Pat Riley back. And Pat Riley's like, no, actually, this is our coach, and here's why. I think those four teams, even though they all have a ton of potential, should things go right.
Yeah.
And we'll see if this bubble in these playoffs unfold like a typical playoff series would, or if because of everything going on and because of the atmosphere, if it's a little wonky, if there's, you know, a little unexpected spice to it. And then tough outs, OKC.
Yeah.
OKC, I got Boston, as much as I would like to say that they're going to end up in the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's a sleeper. But
I'm not, Denver and Indiana. Even though Indiana just lost Sabonis, still – they're another one of those gritty teams coached well by Dave McMillan. And I think Oladipo's going to play, even though I'm surprised that that's the case, considering Sabonis just shattered his foot because he was already on the fence about it. And then your second-best player goes out.
That one hurts. That one hurts a lot. I think that's probably a decent look at it because the NBA, too, already had so many games that have already been played that no major stars opted out in terms of really making it a big deal on who opted out. One name that I want to add to that list, it doesn't help, you know, it helps that they're local and we see them probably more often, but a team that's actually healthy is the Trailblazers. And I've seen a lot, and I don't think I quite believe this, but I think there'll definitely be a battle for them, is the Lakers having to face off against the Trailblazers, possibly in that first round, and having to go against them.
The last thing LeBron wants is in the first round. Yeah, because the reason that the Blazers are in the seeding position that they are right now is not because things just didn't go well.
Yeah.
They had to sign Carmelo, for God's sake. I mean, it ended up working out surprisingly well, but they just had injury problems. I mean, obviously, Nurse had the gruesome injury the season before and is back from that now and has already played pretty well in the scrimmages, so that's a good sign for them.
And having Zach Collins back, too, who is still kind of learning the ropes of the NBA, but is a very big guy on the defensive end and can rebound back out of the basketball.
He showed flashes in the playoffs last year well. It's like, okay, you can be on the floor and you're not costing. I mean, we can leave you on the floor.
I mean, they're so tall because you could, you know, in theory, you could run out a lineup with Lillard, McCollum. You could toss in Whiteside, Nurkic, and Zach Collins on the forecourt at one time if you want to go big, you know, and then you have to figure out who's guarding LeBron. But that's a matchup nightmare for almost any team in the league. And if all those guys stay healthy, specifically the two bigs, Nurkic and Collins, who have already had their injury problems, that's a team that, for me, you know, being a local team on top of the fact that they just, you know, they have a Zag on there in Collins, that's a team definitely to watch out for because they can be dangerous. They have the talent level. They have, and McCollum's had a bad year too. And you know, if McCollum can turn it on and the guys stay healthy and they can put it all together at the right time, they are. That's a tough out. So that's one team that I'll be watching because you know the jersey that I'm wearing, that team doesn't exist anymore. So that's kind of my team, I guess, even though it's kind of a cheap answer. But, yeah, I'm excited. I think the NBA playoffs, are incredibly exciting. I don't love the NBA throughout the regular season. I think they're just all divas and there's too much drama. But I love watching it. There just really is. But the playoffs are incredible. They because it just seems like the refs don't call as much. I feel like
it's called very differently in the playoffs.
It is, and I love it. Now, don't get me wrong. The talent level in the NBA is impressive to watch, and I'll watch regular season games. But the playoffs is where it really gets exciting. And that's what I'm really looking forward to. Anything else on the NBA?
I'm just stoked for it to be back. Yeah. I mean, the optics of the court, it's better than anything that I would have thought they'd be able to do.
Yeah.
However, it still is a little bizarre. Yeah. It's okay. It's good. I can't be complaining about sports coming back already. I just can't go there, even though that's where I almost did just go. But, no, I'm super excited for it to come back, as I know most people
are excited for it. Yeah, and NBA fans are going to be thrilled. I'm thrilled because, again, it's sports and they're back in some regard and they're in a bubble, and I'm pretty confident about both them and MLS not having any problems. So they should be good to go throughout the rest of the year.
Speaking of problems.
Yeah, speaking of problems, the you know, that one league called MLB that decided against using a bubble is having some problems, specifically from their team in Florida, which isn't surprising because Florida ruins everything and always has problems. The Miami Marlins today confirmed 4 more tests for COVID. That brings their total up to 15 now, which for their active roster, that's over half of guys on their team that have tested positive. And so luckily the way that MLB has set up, actually their games, that is sort of breaking. All of their games have been canceled until Monday.
Yep.
So they're done for the week. But that's unfortunate. It was bound to happen. MLB's come out and said, you know, we are prepared for this. We knew something like this might happen, and we're going to quarantine the right players. We're going to move forward. We're going to continue our daily testing or however often they're testing, and we're going to get through it. We'll see if that ends up happening, if someone steps in and says no. Fauci came out and said MLB's okay for now. They are in danger. They probably don't need to stop games, but they need to keep an eye on this. So that part's really unfortunate. But the Mariners have no positive tests, and they got through a whole weekend, and they won a game.
They won a game. They did not get swept.
They won for the first time against the Astros in 15 tries, first time in 12 games at the Astros. Astros are just a tough team to play. You know, they have studs 1 through 9 through the batting order. They have a pitching staff that's brutal to face. And they did it all without banging a garbage can. So that was cool on their part.
That we know of.
Yeah, maybe they have the little buzzers back on their chest there. Right. So the interesting thing about baseball is there's obviously no one in the stands. Their viewership was actually up this year. I think it was 232% from last season. Not a very big surprise, but the MLB has to be happy about that because that means that their TV deals are working out. Their sponsors are going to be happy about that. This part isn't so surprising. I don't even know why that baseball did this last year. But last year, the opening night game on ESPN was the Red Sox against the Mariners. We didn't see it because we were blacked out We were blacked out from seeing it from national broadcast rights when Root Sports has the rights to broadcast it. We get blacked out from seeing games on ESPN. Not the other kind of blackout, which probably would help some of these nights when we have to watch the Mariners play. But this year's game was up the 232% from last season's game when the Mariners were on there, which isn't a big deal. I mean, are we that surprised? Mariners drew 1.2 million viewers last year. The game this year was 4.4 million, and that game was between the Yankees and the Nationals. So that's a bigger game than the Mariners-Red Sox. So baseball has to be happy about that. Mariners did return. It was really awesome to see Kyle Lewis play a big part in that. 2 solo homers, the game-winning hit on Saturday's game, maybe Sunday's game. I think it was Sunday's game. Anyway, game-winning hit, a single to right, 95-mile-an-hour fastball in the outside corner, just went with it, went oppo with it. And Evan White, Mariners' first baseman that they signed, hit his first homer yesterday. He's been a little bamboozled there at the plate. He hasn't done much.
I was going to say, yeah, I watched some of those plate appearances. They were tough.
He looks a little freaked out, and that's probably fair. He went from double A last season, making the jump to the bigs this year. His defense has been stellar, though. He made a catch halfway diving into the stands. He's picking everything that gets thrown to him. So that's been fun to see. I'm just happy to see the Mariners kind of competing in terms of they're competing like the Mariners usually compete, but they're doing it fun in a fun way because they have a bunch of young kids doing it. And a lot of these young kids are actually playing pretty well in terms of Kyle Lewis, Evan White, who the bat comes around. The bat will come around. They're not going to sign him to a four-year or five-year deal worth however many millions of dollars if they didn't think he could do it. That part's awesome. I'm just excited for baseball to be back. The Mariners play here as we're recording this in about an hour against the Angels, so that'll be fun to watch. But how much of the Mariners did you catch this weekend?
I put up with 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did see the Kyle Lewis winning
yep.
run hit. What was that, in the eighth?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was almost exciting. Are you yeah. out on their season? Is their season over yet?
Their season's over in the okay. sense that, yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're going to okay. finish last in the AL West. But I'm still pumped. I still like to tune in. I'll probably tune in tonight and just watch it, hang out, do something else while I'm watching it. Because it's not something I can just purely watch because they're not that fun yet.
Yeah.
They're not that fun yet, but they're getting there. These young kids are going to be something that in 2 years from now, I'm pretty sure they're going to be a very impressive team.
I got to say, it's really interesting to watch the managers get all heated, come out of their dugouts, and then like stop, reach into their back pocket, put the mask on, and then go at it with the ump.
Yep,
that's
video
an interesting
was awesome.
Dynamic
and,
for sure.
And the umpire, one of his straps was broken, so he put it around one ear, and he had to hold it up, and he's arguing with the guy, and he's like, and you know, they're going back and forth, and he's trying to hold it, and he like tried to loop it around, and it's like, and then eventually the manager took off his, and I'm like, I think that's a fine.
It is.
We talked about that. Yeah. I think that's a fine, so we'll have to see what comes from that. But baseball is, we will see. I am a little worried about the old bubble, no bubble thing.
Right.
But so far, so good in the Pacific Northwest in terms of no positive tests for the Mariners.
Yeah.
Speaking of also great news out of the Pacific Northwest, we have a name for our hockey team. That is the Seattle Kraken. That was announced out of 1,200 names that the ownership group for the Seattle NHL team, I guess at the time, they went over 1,200 names and narrowed it down to like 25 or something that they did a deep dive on to really see how it would work, and they came down to the Krakens. We discussed some of the possibilities. Kraken was in there, along with, I think, the other top two, for me at least, were the Sockeyes and the Totems, I think were the other two big ones. What's your first initial thought? You saw that video get released, I think it was 9 a.m. What were your first thoughts?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. they did a great job. I love the color scheme.
Oh, yeah, color scheme's sweet.
The jerseys look awesome. I would love to see, you know, what they're away slash maybe if they have an alternate, mm-hmm. what that looks like. I think it's pretty cool. I don't know. I totally buy in and subscribe to Crackhead Nation.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's awesome.
That is going to be a lot of fun.
The fans will be referred to as.
Yep.
I think it's pretty exciting. And in the absence of our basketball team, mm-hmm. I think this was a nice positive jolt for the Northwest in the sporting arena that we need.
Yeah, it definitely was. And the logo is an S. You can find it online. It's an S, and they specifically wanted to keep some sort of S on as their main logo to honor the Seattle Metropolitans, who were the first United States team to win the Stanley Cup way back in the day, and their S was on their jersey, so that was really cool. But yeah, they're essentially their colors. They have five team colors: deep sea navy, ice blue, boundless blue, shadow blue, and red alert. And that red alert's there on the eye inside of the Kraken. So I love the name. I love the color scheme. Their marketing for it has been awesome so far. The videos that they released to show off both the team name as well as teasing the team name, they did a really good job with it. I think most of the NHL and most NHL fans haven't given us too hard of a time, which is always nice.
I feel like it's universally been well-recepted. I feel like, it's only been outliers that have really
for sure.
condemned it.
I haven't found anybody that doesn't like it so far. I don't see how you really can't like it. I think, one argument that I think I've seen just floating around social media, they call it in a poor arena football, but they say it's kind of like an arena football team name and design. And it's like, sort of. People said about the Seahawks when the Seahawks rebranded and adjusted their color scheme, got new jerseys. But I loved it when the Seahawks first came out with that jersey. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm on board.
Okay, there are literally teams in the MLB named after socks.
Yeah.
Like, are we really going to go there? I mean, we could do this all day. And
there's a team named after a leaf
right.
In the NHL.
Yeah.
So at least we're named after a mythical creature that has giant tentacles and
alpha predator.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I've seen Pirates of the Caribbean. I've seen what that thing can do. So I love it. I think it's great for the city of Seattle. I'm pumped to go watch a game in Seattle now. I'm not a big NHL guy, mainly because I didn't understand the rules. I don't understand some of the offside rules. I don't understand some of the icing stuff. But now this is definitely going to be a reason for me to get involved. You think having the Chiefs in town, I would have been a little bit more excited for an NHL team, or at least more prepared for one. But that is not the case. They're not. It's the Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs. Yeah.
So that will be really exciting moving forward. But we will end the show again, as we always do, with our closing time. Andrew, take it away.
God. Okay. So, I mean, it'll be a lot easier when sports are fully back. But who's back is Woj.
Oh, yeah.
Who better to break the news that Sabonis shattered his foot than Woj, who was on a bit of a hiatus and suspended from ESPN. And he didn't announce anything. He just came back. I was scrolling through Twitter, and it's like, Adrian Wojnarowski.
There he is.
Domantas Sabonis broke his foot. You're like, seeking a specialist. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Did I miss something?
You sent that tweet to me, and first you said he's back. And I read the tweet, and I'm like, Sabonis out? What do you mean he's back? And then I looked at it. I was like, hey, there he is. And I was like, oh, then Sabonis is out. That was really interesting to see, because it's not like he was like, you know, send out a tweet like, here in Orlando, you know, teams are looking great, or, you know, something that's like signified, here I am back on Twitter. But no, Domantas Sabonis out indefinitely, leaving the bubble to go see a foot specialist. So that was kind of an odd thing, but he is an oddball kind of guy, I think.
He's quirky.
He's the basketball version of what baseball sabermetrics guy is.
Yes, 100%.
He looks like the guy who just sits down in front of his computer and just goes over stats and finds out the true field goal percentage of every single player in the league, or whatever fancy stat you want to pull out. But that was really funny, and also, like you said, quirky and weird, and not surprising for a guy like Woj, though.
No, it wasn't.
This one just actually broke today that I thought was really interesting, and I think people are making a huge deal out of it, and I don't know why. Patrick Mahomes is now a part of the ownership group of the Kansas City Royals. He's obviously the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, so it makes sense. But he is a part of the new ownership group. He said essentially that he spent a lot of times in clubhouses as a kid, and he really was excited to be a part of this. It kind of makes sense. I didn't realize this, but his dad, Pat Mahomes, which I didn't realize they have this. Is his name Patrick Mahomes Jr. then? He doesn't say that, but his dad is Pat Mahomes, so I guess he technically is a junior. But I'll have to look into that. But essentially, his dad pitched more than 300 games, mostly as a reliever. He said he was, you know, he's happy about this town. It's a great town. It's something I was excited to do. It helps that he did just sign a 10-year extension for $450 million, and that, I mean, yeah, if you have that much money, why not? Why not be jumping in as a minority owner of an ownership group? I also didn't realize this, but he was a baseball prospect once drafted by the Tigers in 2014, and I forgot about that. And I saw people on social media, they're like, wow, Patrick Mahomes is a partial owner? Like, oh my God, how awesome and game-changing is this? And it's like, well, Russell Wilson is a partial owner of the Sounders. Right. Like, it's really not that big of a deal for a guy who's going to make up to $503 million over a 10-year span, become an owner of a Major League Baseball team when he probably only put in a couple million dollars.
I think LeBron's like a part owner of like Liverpool or something like that. I mean, it's not the first time a player has crossed over.
The way that sports media hops on the Mahomes bandwagon for every single thing is a little annoying. And it's not even like it's a big market team. You know, you see that a lot with the Patriots. You see it a lot with the Cowboys. You see it a lot with the Giants. And because they're big market teams, but Mahomes is kind of unique, where he's in a generational talent from a small market team, and the media is in love with him consistently. And so it gets a little old. I get it. You know, I guess if Patrick Mahomes was my quarterback, I would be like, this guy's awesome. Oh my God. But I think it's a little much.
Yeah, I mean, you get tired of hearing it, but it's cyclical. I mean, there's going to be an NBA player that comes up. It's probably going to be Zion. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of been Giannis for a while. Yep. Fortunately, LeBron's still been there to kind of diversify, you know, the love and the attention. that there is amongst those NBA players. But
and poor Mike Trout doesn't get that same sort of coverage as
he also
in
doesn't
baseball.
Want it.
He doesn't, and that's a very good point because he's like, I'm here to play baseball. He's never even played in a playoff, never won a playoff game.
It's insane.
It is poor Mike Trout. That's
but
for sure.
Good 2020 for the state of Kansas.
Yeah, no, they're pretty happy right now.
I was really hoping you were going
to
check me on that.
I was going to. I was trying to avoid being like, well, Andrew, you know, Missouri is kind of. To be fair, though, I think. One, I don't know if it's the football stadium or if it's Kansas City's stadium. One of them actually is in the state of Kansas.
Oh.
It's on the other side of the river that if I'm pretty sure because someone – or maybe their old stadium, I think. Something like that because I remember seeing that and I'm like, who's the idiot who said in
it's
Kansas?
It's got to be a glitch in the Matrix
something. Yeah, something was weird about it. I'll have to look that up and confirm so I don't sound like a complete moron.
You know what's crazy is that the next time that we come back to the show, mm-hmm. next week –
which
well,
is,
we're going to have an additional sport to talk about.
Yep.
That's going to be basketball.
It'll be basketball.
Yeah.
That will be after, what, 3 months? Four?
It was like
what is it?
Second week of March.
March, so 4 months.
March 12th, I think.
It'll be almost 5 months.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Whew. Yeah, that'll be fun to see. I'm pumped to get everything back going because training camp just opened today, too, for a lot of teams. The NFL won't make its glorious return until the first week of September. But we have almost every sport that should be playing right now is playing. The NHL is getting ready to get their season up and rolling once it – I don't even know when their season starts, but I think it's in the fall.
They have stayed so low-key.
Yeah,
they haven't
weird.
Broken anything
the,
about
the
what's
NHL
going
commissioner
on.
Is just like, yeah, please don't look at me. We really don't want
you
the
don't hear about any developments
which
on
is
NHL and their return.
NHL's a – I mean, it's one of the major sports leagues, and you're right. You haven't heard anything.
Mm-mm.
So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on NHL. I
so
know
they've
there's,
gone the anti-baseball route.
They've gone the complete anti-baseball route because, yeah, baseball
which
was everywhere.
Probably smart,
and they probably didn't want to be either, but, you know, it's baseball and – they always bring it upon themselves, that's for sure. So
yeah, I'm sweating, so let's wrap this
yes,
up.
Yes, it's very warm in the studio right now. It doesn't help that it's almost 100 outside. So it's going to be a brutal week. But stay indoors, watch the Mariners. You got the NBA coming up here on Thursday. Sounders are done here for a couple weeks now that they're out of the knockout stage in this tournament.
Short
but
title defense.
Very short title defense so far. So we will see you again next week. We'll go over everything else we can find. Now that we have sports coming in, we actually have more stuff to talk about. NFL's getting its thing going. We're seeing some moves. Kraken was a great thing to talk about. We'll see how the NHL franchise goes along. I don't even know when that expansion draft will be. It'll have to be decently soon because they do start playing next season in 2021.
Yep.
So we will keep you in the loop on that. But thanks for stopping by again. This is the Locker Room, Spokane's only consistent running sports talk show program. We will see you next week with another round of The Locker Room.
Sports are back, baby!
Thanks for watching The Locker Room on Spokane Talks. Check us out on Facebook as well as our other platforms. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation by emailing us at info@SpokaneTalksOnline.com. And for more sports news, opinions, and content, follow Justin and me on Twitter.